Welcome to the Sports and Torts Podcast, your go-to podcast for entertaining conversations on sports, law, and business. This podcast is powered by the J. Stein Law Firm, a personal injury law firm in Atlanta, Georgia. And now, here is your host, Joshua Stein.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sports and Torts and what is one of my favorite episodes of the year. The sun is out, temperature is up, spring is here, times are good. Means baseball's here, and I got my boys, my baseball men back in the house, Josh Gernat, Casey Collins. We got some cold tropicalia in our hands, about to talk some Braves. It gets no better than this, guys.
Let's do it, man.
Springtime. Ready to roll, man.
Take two. We were here right about a year ago, made all predictions. Braves win the World Series. Everybody's going MVPs. Everyone's Cy Youngs. We got some right, got some wrong, but we'll give it another shot, huh?
Let's do it.
Now.
What is the encore performance going to look like for 2024? Because 2023, as far as I'm concerned, regular season was as fun as it gets, as good as it gets. It didn't end the way we wanted in the postseason, which we'll get to, but how does this team have an encore?
I think 104 wins is going to be awful hard to duplicate. I mean, that was just nuts. I mean, you turn on every night and they were up on somebody. And they made it look easy for so long. It kind of got boring, you know, which I hate to say, but at least the year before, even back to the World Championship team, it was a fight every night. And then your team got hot, and it was like, all right, I got to watch tonight because what are they going to do next? And last year it was just, all right, it's 8-2. You know,
I'll take your word boring and replace it with fun as hell. Well, I thought it was fun as hell.
Hey, I'm going to agree with that. So as the father of a 10-year-old son, we had so much fun watching the Braves play last year. And my expectation for this year, you got 8 of the 9 returning starters in the lineup.
Yeah.
It's going to be much of the same. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see it.
It was great. It just wasn't different every night, you know?
I love the cadence of the baseball season. I love the journey from game one to 162. I think I might enjoy that more than the sprint in the playoffs. I mean, winning the World Series obviously is the goal every year. You don't remember the playoffs unless you win the World Series. We didn't do it last year, obviously. But the year, in my opinion, was still a success.
100%. Because to your point, baseball is different than the other major sports. You got a much longer regular season, 162 games, tons of ebbs and flows, and a lot of stuff to talk about over that time. I thought the Braves were great. You know, we've had two straight Octobers that have been disappointments, but to say that the season was a failure because of that, it was a great summer. You know, I'm hoping that this fall is a little bit different, and we'll talk about that sprint here, I'm sure, shortly. But as we get started in March, nothing but positive vibes coming this way.
I agree. I think there's something to be said there about getting hot at the right time. You know, when you look at Philly 2 years ago, Arizona last year, both teams, well, more Arizona last year than Philly, but Arizona was hot, then they weren't, and then they were hot again right at the right time. Philly got hot right towards the end and rode it. It's kind of like horse racing, right? You pull back until that last lap, and then you kick it in gear. And I think Snicker and his staff have got to figure out what to do a little bit different at the end of the year to get that spark. Like they had 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, 21.
It's wild that it seems like the three of us and really the baseball community at large just kind of sees the next 5 to 6 months as kind of a given that it's going to lead to an October run, and we're already just skipping right to that. I think there's a lot of reasons why. You mentioned the Braves team is almost identical as it was last year. There's so many more playoff spots up for grabs now that I saw that the stat, the percentage of the Braves making playoffs was 98% or something like that, which is just insane. So if you're AA, who, by the way, is as good as his job, as good at his job as anybody else is at their job, You end last season, again, disappointment with the Phillies. Going into the offseason, what do you think AA's ideas are, plans are, tinkering with the roster, tinkering with how we, to your words, Casey, progress at the right time? What's the approach?
Well, we saw what the approach was. It was a bunch of minor moves, and it was making, several different trades, dropping guys to work in the key players that he wanted to get into some of these roles that are you know, not necessarily the primary roles. I mean, we're not talking about, like, hey, we needed a cleanup hitter. Like, we needed a fourth starter. We needed more bullpen depth. And the one thing that I love that he did was our bullpen's going to be throwing smoke. And that's what we saw the last two postseasons is you're facing 99 every single time you step in the box after the sixth inning.
I want a fat lefty that throws 100. That's all I want. I feel like every team that gets us out has a fat lefty that throws 100.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's got to have at least one. And we've got four lefties in the pen, right, starting off the year. I mean, that's an awesome thing.
So final roster, I don't know if it's been released yet. We're recording this on Monday. Opening day is in 3 days. There was what, a bullpen or two spot up for grabs? There was a bench spot or two up for grabs. Any surprises that either one of y'all saw coming in the final roster?
I think adding Duvall last week was a surprise. You didn't see that happening just because of the you don't have people on the bench now that deserve to play every day anymore with the DH situation. And Duvall, in my head, is still an everyday player. And maybe he becomes that again with Atlanta, but and Snicker has proven that the bench is the bench. You know, it's not somebody that's gonna get a spot start a week. You know, his guys play. Your players play, and the bench guys are bench guys.
Look at your infield. I mean, would they average 158 starts over the course of the season? So, you know what they do there. You know you get some wheels that you need in a late game situation. But you know, with the DH, to your point, they're not pinch hitting.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, bench guys have become so marginalized. Like I was listening to a podcast, I was talking about the decision for the last roster spot. I think Forrest Wall either got or is going to get it.
He'll get it, yeah.
And they were saying a couple of things. Number one, it was almost a reward to him for how good he's done over the last couple of years. And it's like, we can see a scenario where he can pinch run for, Sean Murphy, or pinch run for, Darno. Like, that's the one we would actually put him in. But to your point, he ain't getting a spot start in left field. You know, they ain't going to monkey around with anything.
The days of Keith Lockhart, they're gone. There are no, we don't have professional pinch hitters anymore. They've got to serve something else besides that.
Instead, we have people like Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, buddy.
I feel for the first 2 months of the season, Casey, we kept giving you credit for lighting a fire under his ass, because I think you sat here maybe in Josh's seat and said,
it was all on me.
He was lazy or something. I'll be honest, I've been critical of him too in the years leading up to this, because his talent was just always right there. And you just kept waiting and waiting and waiting for a season where he was healthy for 162, locked in. My God, did we get it last year?
And I think we'll see it again in 2024. You know, he had a little knee scare in spring training, so maybe the running is not as uber aggressive as it was last year. But, I mean, hitting for average, hitting for power, getting on base, creating runs. I mean, that's exactly what we want. And there's a reason why ESPN named him the number one player in baseball.
And MLB Network did too. That's multiple publications all think the same thing about him. Was it 71 or 74 stolen bases?
73.
Yeah. Yep. How many steals does he have with the smaller bases? Do we think that made any difference? I know it was talked about every game last year, but I mean, what do you think that number's the year before?
I don't think it made that.
I don't think it made that
difference. I think it's much about nothing. I think he was going to be running wild no matter
what.
I mean, maybe a handful here or there. But he was going to get to that 70 regardless. Once he got in sniffing distance of it, like, it was going to happen.
It was all.
You know? And he got, 45, 43, 42? How many home runs did he end up with? 40, right on the number?
It was right on.
No, he was at 45. I think it was 45 and 73. And that's what's so amazing. You hit 45 home runs, you don't get a chance for stolen base. Like, that means he was on base that many other times. And on first base, taking walks, you know, getting singles. So he's complete.
Well, it's historic. I mean, right? No one's ever come close to a season like that. Do y'all think he's got it in him to do the same thing this year?
Yeah.
I think so.
Do you think a 50-50 season is in sight? As crazy as that sounds?
I like overs, but that is uber aggressive.
Well, let's try this then. Yeah, speaking of overs, it's always a fun game to play. If you took Acuna, and I don't know if this is something that's you can bet on, you probably can, but if I said 100 combined home runs and stolen bases for Acuna in 2024, are you taking the over or the under?
Put it at 110, and I'm still probably taking
the over. All right, we'll put it at 110.
I'm still probably taking the over.
Over, yeah.
So over at 110, that means that basically a repeat of 40 45
and 65, something like that. Okay. I don't see his swing changing. Like, dude, I mean, if you look at the, and I'm not a huge proponent of all of these stats on exit velo and launch angle, all that stuff. But if you look at the metrics on him, if you look at the top 15 hard hit balls of last year, he's got like six of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's not a big dude. Like, I don't see that aspect of his game changing. The one thing that would change is if he decides not to run as much. So maybe 100 is a good number. Maybe I'm overstepping a little bit.
If you're giving me 10 free points, I'm going to take it.
Maybe I take that back.
Let's just move down the lineup. Maybe not exactly sequentially, but just let's go to Olsen. Again, career year last year, 54, something like that. I mean, he was just crazy. I'd like to ask y'all a couple things. Number one, does he have another 50-plus home run season in him? And number two, either one of y'all can take this, where are you now on the ongoing, forever into perpetuity, Freddie versus Olsen debate?
Wow. I think the thing with Olsen last year, a little bit of a slow start, which didn't get talked about a lot. And then coinciding with his slow start was Ozuna's slow start. And then as he started to hit, Olsen really got to hit. He had that guy behind him that, you know, he may be seeing that extra fastball or two that he wasn't seeing early in the season when Ozuna was struggling. So I think if he can maintain his level of play, I think Olsen can easily repeat last year's numbers. Maybe not the RBI numbers, because I think Riley will get a few more this year than he had last year. But I don't see why he couldn't hit 50 home runs again this year.
Yeah, I agree. I love what Matt Olsen brings to the team. I think when we talked about it last year, you know, we were of the mind we're going to miss Freddie. I love, and I will always be a Freddie Freeman fan. I'm never going to root against that guy. I just think he's an awesome dude. I think the dynamic that Matt Olsen brings, though, is perfect for this team. Like, they needed a bopper in the middle in 54 and 140. I mean, any other year, he's MVP. Either MVP or second. You know, would he finish fourth in the MVP? MVP
voting. Acuna, Betts, yeah. Freeman, Olsen.
Monster year. And he's had a track record of kind of up and then down and then up and then down each year. But there's no reason to think that, I mean, if it's down and it's 37 and 120, like,
take it.
I'll take that any day of the week.
Take it. So you mentioned Riley, who's your guy, Josh. I'm going to let you start off with him. I love the Hall of Fame. Like, I've been several times. I love seeing who is it that's going to get in, what the numbers are that requires of it. The last couple of years, I'm looking at people's numbers and who they were. And I'm thinking to myself, Austin Riley is on that trajectory. He just keeps his head down, puts these numbers together. Guys, he's going to end up there.
There's a reason the Braves signed him to a 10-year deal. I mean, the dude can just flat out play. And, you know, for any of you guys that have listened to this podcast that we've done the last couple of years, Riley's my guy. I love him. I've loved him since the first day that he came up and I saw the way that he swings the bat, the quiet approach. I just think he has set himself up to be super consistent over the course of his career, now barring injury. I mean, you put up 36 to 40 home runs, 100 to 120 RBIs every year for 10, 12 years. That's getting you in the company.
Oh, by the way, his defense is really damn good, too.
It is good.
I think that goes overlooked sometimes.
Top five last year, third base.
So what's the number y'all put on him? I'll let you set it over under for home runs.
35.
Over.
I mean, I'm going over that.
I feel like we're going to be doing this last year, but I see 37, 38. I mean, he's going to run into that many balls if he gets 600 at bats.
He is, and the better that Matt Olsen stays behind him is just going to give him more pitches to hit. And, you know, the projected lineup that I was looking at had Ozzie hitting second.
Yeah.
You get a good year out of Ozzie, a good year out of Acuna, you're going to have men on base in front of these guys all the time.
You just got Casey really excited to talk lineup construction. he got really excited.
Yeah. I mean, I was way off last year. I'll admit that on some of my lineup ideas. The reason why I say only 35 for Riley, I think he's a gap-to-gap hitter. He's not a natural Olsen type that's going to take 75% of the balls he sees and try and yank them down the line and ends up with a lot of right field home runs where Riley hits, you're the hitter, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, to me, he's a gap-to-gap guy, and some parks still have big gaps. You know, it's not everybody's, you know, left field friendly, like, or left center friendly, like Atlanta is, but Ozzie at two, I think it's a natural spot. I mean, right-handed, I like him hitting four last year, but he, you know, didn't have to. So
he put up 30 home runs as well. That gets kind of forgotten.
It didn't make the top 10 on MLB's countdown for second baseman.
That's so stupid. So Ozuna, talk about a tale of 2 years. I mean, you talked about it. He started out so slow, getting awful. Booed. Can we trade him for a case of baseballs? To where he became a lot of people's favorite Brave by the end of the year. Does he have another run in him?
We'll see. I did not see the return to greatness last year that he put up.
It was kind of quiet.
It was, but he's a big, strong dude. When he gets hot, he gets hot. And, I think in a lineup like this, it's different if he's playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates hitting fourth and he's got to be all things to everybody. Whereas in this lineup, he's a complimentary piece. Pitchers are going to give him more pitches to hit because of the number of hitters around him. I think that just benefits everybody.
And the one thing they talked about last year, even when his batting average was 0.57 or whatever it was his hard hit rate was still like top 10 in the league. He was just hitting everything right at people.
And he's a great clubhouse guy. They love him. They love Ozuna. I think I'm going to pump the brakes on the overs for whatever his is. I'd probably go a little bit of a regression. I'd say he's going to take a step back. If anybody in the lineup, I think he's the most primed to. But hope I'm wrong. We'll see. Now, who I think is going to take the biggest step up is Michael Harris.
I knew that's where you're going.
I think Michael Harris is going to be the top center fielder or top one or two center fielder / outfielders in the league this year. I think he's going to be an all-star. I think he hit 25, 30 home runs, steal a bunch of bases. He's the next one to pop off.
Yeah, you take April and May out, and dude hit like 340. Mm-hmm. For the year last year. I mean, you keep those months in, he's still at like 295 with an absolutely terrible start with that injury. But I love him. I think the combination of his defense, his speed, and what he can do in a spot start in the leadoff role, hitting in the two hole or hitting in the nine hole as a second leadoff hitter, it's great. And I think, Josh, spot on, dude. I see him in the All-Star game this year.
So you think he's back hitting ninth this year? Because the stuff I've been seeing says he's a six-hole hitter.
I think the left fielder, Kelenicek, or however you say his name, is going to hit ninth. Night. Before I get to Kelenic, let's play the game again, adding home runs and stolen bases. I'll set it 50 for Michael Harris. So we'll go half. We'll go half of Acuna. What say you, Casey?
He hadn't ran a whole lot this first year and a half. But everybody keeps saying that he's got it in him. I think maybe this year, Mike strikes me as a kind of more preview kind of guy. Maybe he swipes 40 this year.
Well, and to talk lineup construction, if you're hitting the six hole, you got 7, 8, 9 in front of you. You got to create some runs.
Yeah,
like he's going to be in a spot where he gets on base. He's going to steal. I'll take the over on that with like a 20-35, 20-40.
All right, there we go. All right, educate me on our left fielder. I already messed his name up once. Kelenic.
That's Kelenic. What I said.
All right. I know that he's everybody says high upside, former high draft pick. You told me before, hey, the Mets draft him top 10. That
scary.
You questioned that from the jump, but yeah. His spring training has been god awful. What can we expect from him?
Defense.
Then, well, as a left-handed hitter, he's going to get a lot of starts against righties. I think that's why they brought in Duhall, because if Kelenic struggles against the lefties, they're going to treat that as a platoon scenario. You get a lot of guys that come into Atlanta and it's a different vibe. And I'm not saying anything about Seattle. I don't know the first thing about that culture, dynamic, whatever. But guys come here and play well. And so I'm optimistic on the kid. He's like 24. We're not talking about a 32-year-old that's been around the block. I mean, sometimes it takes a minute to find your way.
To your point about Ozuna, he can hit ninth and play good defense and hit 250 and get 15 bombs, and that's great, right?
Ozuna.
Yeah, like because you said something about Ozuna's not hitting fourth for Pittsburgh, and he's not expected to do a whole
bunch. But no, the same exactly.
I'm just making the analogy.
No, I felt
that we're not looking to him to be the guy. So to your point about come to Atlanta and settle in, maybe that's what he does.
And he's got Acuna hitting behind him. I mean, they're going to have to throw him some strikes.
And you got a guy like Duvall, too, though. His splits are not very lefty-righty skewed, right? I mean, last year he hit better against righties than against lefties. So you have a good, safe option there if this thing does go way south.
We're going to score plenty of runs. There's no doubt about that. Pitching staff, I think, is pretty strong too. I mean, you can make the argument we have 1 through 9, the best lineup, which I think I've seen several lists say that we have the best lineup. And I've seen other lists say we have the best pitching staff too, 1 through 5 or 8 or 10 or how many pitchers you need now to get through a season. Spencer Strider is much must watch TV the every fifth day that he pitches. Can't get enough of that guy. He's adding a curveball to the arsenal this year. He's big things ahead.
I have not seen him pitch this spring. I cannot wait to see this new pitch. Because, you know, his strikeout numbers are ridiculous, and that's with all hard stuff. I mean, he was throwing a changeup, but it was, you know, if he threw 100 pitches, he threw 6.
Right.
So to have another pitch to mix in, you know, is going to give him the chance to kind of cycle through the order more times than I think he has been. And so it's a guy that can also eat some innings, potentially, which I, you know, in today's game, what is eating innings? Is that 5 innings? Is that 6, 7, whatever? I cannot wait to watch the dude on the hill. The national media loves the staff. I think the addition of Chris Sale, you know, it's kind of cemented that up. You look at any of these CBS or The Athletic or everywhere else. Oh, Braves number one pitching staff. Some of that's name recognition. Like with Sale, you know, we'll see as it transpires what Chris Sale we get. But I think it bodes well for the season to go in knowing that you've got all these guys that have done it before and been there and done that, you know, all the way down to the fifth starter. I'm excited.
Did either of y'all see those numbers coming for Strider last year?
So I didn't realize he won 20 games last year.
20-4.
25.
Completely forgot about that.
Because you ain't winning 20 games in major leagues anymore these days. And he did.
With a nearly 4 ERA. You know, which is obviously good support. But, you know, he wasn't like he was a dominant 20-5 pitcher with a 2-3 ERA. I mean, he was 3-7, you know, and for a lot of the year, it was near 4. And then he'd throw a couple of back-to-back gems, and then the ERA would come down, and he'd have another disaster and then blow up again.
But, see, I feel like it was just like a one-inning thing.
Exactly.
I feel like he'd get lit up inning in a game.
Yeah.
And it would, but I felt like turning his starts on, he was 6 or 7 innings, 2 runs, and then the occasional he'd run into a 3-run homer in the 7th inning, and that would be it.
But spot on. The three-run homer is why his ERA is what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they worked across 6 hits. They fell into a home run after you
run to 100 runs.
Yeah, whatever.
I think he put up like, what, 250 strikeouts, something like that. So I don't know enough.
It shocked me. Like, I mean, I thought the guy would have a good year. I didn't expect that.
Think that his odds to win the Cy Young are actually greater than Acuna's odds to win the MVP. Think about that. That's a pretty wild projection for someone as young as Strider, but I can argue against it.
The expectations are high.
300 strikeouts, is that something that is in reach for someone like him? Because that doesn't happen very often either.
I don't think pitchers are throwing enough innings as starters to hit to that threshold. Because if you're, you know, back in the day, you'd look down at a box score or a baseball card, the back of it, and see, you know, 225, 240 innings pitched. I mean, what are you seeing now? 180?
Yeah, I think 175 right? is like considered, you know, number one starter, elite type territory. Right.
So you've got to be at that, you know, 12 to 13 strikeouts per 9 innings, which he was at last year. I mean, let's be honest, that was his ratio. But that's aggressive.
What was the thing that the Braves used to talk about in the 90s and in early 2000s when they didn't have starters miss starts? Everybody went to post every time it was their turn. And that was just the way they did things. And now the conversation is, we got our 5. We also got 4.5 guys at Gwinnett that are going to get 2 to 3 starts, maybe 5 starts this year at the big league level. So our guys can skip a start, or, you know, if they get hurt. They're already kind of planting extra pitchers into the mix. That used to never be a thing. You have to.
But I mean, I would say
how much it's changed, though.
Oh, I know.
30 years.
There will be between 12 and 15 on the low end starting pitchers for the Braves this year.
Was it 16 last 16. Year?
Okay.
Start?
It was 16. I didn't know what that was. Okay. Yeah. So yes, they'll be, I said that over 16 again. You just have to have it to get through a season.
Yeah.
you know? And we haven't even mentioned Freed yet, who is an ace on every other squad, and now he gets to very quietly slide into the second slot. What a freaking luxury that is.
Yeah. Great pitcher. You know, it's free agent year. You haven't heard anything about the Braves and him trying to work anything out. So,
but you
know,
won't. That's just not what they do.
Well, and so from his perspective, I'm going to go out and ball this year and go get my, you know, $28 million six, you know, 28 mil per for 6 years.
I don't think he's going to get it. I think that what we learned this offseason, Blake Snell just got signed, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
And it was a 3-year deal. Now the AAV is high, but they're not giving these pitchers. I mean, Nola, Wheeler, which one of those two got a big deal in the offseason? But Wheeler. I just
they
feel
both
like
did, actually extension.
One of them got like 7 years, one got three, but it doesn't matter. I just feel like GMs and AA specifically are not giving out that kind of cash to pitchers. It worries me about Freed because I feel like if we were gonna sign him, it would have happened by now.
Think Freeman, think Dansby. Yeah, it's a similar scenario. And it's unfortunate because I love him. And I feel like, you know, even though we did not draft him, you know, yeah. I mean, he was traded for as a minor leaguer. And so he's come up through the Brave system. I would love for him to remain a Brave, but AA will show us, man. Business is business.
He's a 10-year Brave guy now, though. Yeah. They acquired him in 2014.
Oh, wow. You were for 10 years?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He was in the Justin Upton deal with the Padres 10 years ago.
So in AA, we trust. We've been saying that. And it's held true. One of y'all mentioned Chris Sale. Can you imagine if Chris Sale pops back to Cy Young form, what that does to this team?
You got three frontline, you know, potential number one starters. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be wild to see how they go about managing these guys. You got a 40-year-old Charlie Morton who, I mean, his spin rate's still a top three in the league, you know, which is nuts. But they're going to have to mix in these Viles and Smith Schauer and
Bryce Elder
is going to come up and, you know, throw some changeups.
By the way, was an all-star last year.
Yeah. All-star, go back to the minors.
Man,
next
he like
year,
fell off the wagon.
How about Ian Anderson? The guy was winning World Series games 2 years ago. I mean, it's just insane the life cycle of these pitchers and what it takes to maintain consistency year in and year out.
And I think Freed would get his money. If you just couldn't say, I know he's going to have blister problems at some point during the year. It happens every year. Love the guy. Like his deuce is like the most fun left-handed curveball to watch other than Kershaw, probably. But he breaks it off and it's like there's nothing you can do with it. But you know he's going to have blister problems. And then last year, the forearm thing, that's super scary. That usually leads to something more serious, which he got lucky and it didn't. But, I mean, is he a $20 million? I don't know, man. I mean, he's 30. He's 30 years old hitting his first free agency cycle. That never happens anymore.
Yeah, I just see a Blake Snell comp for him. I just see that. 3 years and $100 million, which I think AA would be pretty happy with.
But the difference is, real quick on that, Blake Snell never gets out of the fifth inning.
Yeah.
Like, Max Fried can throw pitches, and he can work.
He's a horse, yeah.
Tell that to Cy Young voters last year.
I'm not discounting the greatness of a season that he had, but I think that was a lot of hesitation. Is these guys get on the mound 30 to 35 times a year if they make all their starts. And if you're only pitching five innings, like what is that numeric monetary valuation that applies to the amount of value added? And I think Freed is better than that. And I think he's going to get his money. I just don't think it's going to be in Atlanta.
Am I making too big a deal about his blisters? I feel like it's something I feel like it's something they wait on every year. Like, okay, when's he going to miss a start because of a blister?
And we'll see.
Hey, blisters are painful. All right, fifth starter spot came down to Bryce Elder, who we just mentioned, and then
Ronaldo
Lopez, who, by the way, I don't want him starting in the playoffs. I want him to be the guy who's brought out to throw 100 miles an hour and strike out Bryce Harper. That's all I want in my life, is for Lopez to come out of the bullpen and strike out Bryce Harper in the situation where Bryce Harper will always hit the three-run home run.
I think you'll get that.
That's what I want. That's all I want.
I think you'll get that. I, you know, again, I have not watched a lot of the spring training stuff to say, man, he's been on.
He's looking good. Yeah.
But the dude can bring it. He's been in both roles before. And from a talent evaluation standpoint, the Braves do a great job. And if that's where they want to roll, let's see how the season starts, and Let's get him out there.
Well, with the off days in the first month, when is he even scheduled to get his first start? Like 1st of May?
Yeah, I mean, they can go so many different ways with that, right? I mean, they to your point, they can give, you know, extra days, or they can pop him in there. I mean, that's what Snitker gets paid to do. So we'll see. What is Lopez's track record been? I can't say I know much about how he's done in the past.
High ERA guy, high K rate, pretty decent control, I feel like, the numbers I've looked at. But as far as his repertoire, I'll probably defer to Josh on
he
that
He pitched
one.
In Kansas City. Nobody saw him play.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, White Sox too.
But to Casey's point, what we talked about a few minutes ago, we needed more high velocity guys to get in here. And whether that transpires to be him in the starting role as a fifth starter, or if that is something that is going to get him into the seventh and eighth to pair with Minter, Matzik, and those guys, like the season will play itself out on that. But I will say this, we gave up a good amount to get him. You know, like one of the people we lost, Kyle Wright, I believe that was the trade that transpired. I may be butchering that, but
another 20 game winner not but yeah. 2 years ago.
So I think the Braves saw something in this guy, you know, to give up on a dude like Kyle Wright, who wasn't going to pitch this season because of the surgery, but over the long haul, like I feel like Kyle Wright, if he can recover, is going to be a really good pitcher. So that tells me, hey, we saw something that we get in the immediate future that is good. Let's go run with it and let's roll.
He was a need, right? I mean, Kyle Wright, throw him in there when you put him in the playoffs. Kyle Wright doesn't really add much to our roster. I'll go back to Bryce Harper because we've just seen it time and time again.
Like, yeah.
We didn't have a guy that could get him out in the fourth inning with two runners on. Like Bryce Elder just spun that changeup to him and we all knew it was coming. It cannot happen again. I'm sorry, but I'm going to beat this dude.
Yeah.
Bullpen. Let's talk about bullpen. Bullpen guys. I feel like we've got some familiar names. My two favorite parts of the bullpen. One happened today. Jesse Chavez back in the organization. I don't know if he starts the regular season on the team or not, but you better believe we're going to see him at Truist at some point this season. And old Tyler Nutsack back in action. How good is it going to be to see him coming out of that bullpen?
It's going to be awesome. You know, I don't know what to expect. You know, with that surgery, let's see what plays out, but man.
They slow played him though. He has not been rushed back from Tommy John. I mean, he's progressed at his pace. And I think his pace now is just gonna be wide ass open. You know, that's just what he does.
Heard he's a couple miles per hour off on his velo.
Yeah.
But his stuff is still right there. I read something or listened to Mookie Betts talk about that at bat.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago now in the LCS. The
interview with Dansby.
You
did.
Saw that.
It was so good. It was so good.
I like Mookie Betts, by the way. And I thought that he explained that so well. And that is such an iconic sequence that Matzik did that will forever leave him.
Just shoved it.
Yeah.
He just shoved it.
Yeah. Y'all feel good with Iglesias still closing things down?
I do.
I do now. Last year, he terrified me because I didn't know enough about him. But then the more I watched him pitch, he's got some nice pitches. His ball moves. He's a little bit animated, which you like to see a little bit. You know, he's got some flair. And he had good numbers. But I think the guys between, you know, before you get to him, drastically has been improved. The Pierce Johnson re-signing was it the first signing that he did after the season was over? I believe.
Yeah, it was right after.
I mean, he knew immediately, like, this guy was 0.5 ERA in, like, 26 appearances since he arrived from Atlanta, from Colorado last year. We're going to re-up him, obviously. You know, what they do, 3 years, like, $26 million or something? I mean.
Nice, I like watching him pitch.
Yeah, nice number for a reliever, too.
Yeah, but the guy's hook is awesome. And then you get looking for that, he pops you a 97, and it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, go sit down.
Yeah, sit down. And you got him, and then the kid from the White Sox, the lefty, Bummer, is that his name?
Aaron Bummer.
Yeah.
What a great baseball.
I mean, he's a, you know, hard lefty. And, you know, we got three of those now.
AJ Minter's still around.
You got Minter, Matzik, Bummer, Dylan Lee.
And it leaves him to make the team, but he doesn't throw the juice they throw. But, you know, he'll come in there and change change up you to death. And
how about Minter's reliability? Like, you don't see a bullpen arm like that. He's on 4, 5, 6 years now of being one of the guys.
But do you remember 4 or 5 years ago? We're like, I don't see how this guy's going to stick around. Like, all over the place.
We kept sending him down.
Dude figures it out. Yeah. And, you know, he's been pretty much lights out.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, there's the bullpen. You always get nervous. Certain guys coming in. I get some calm when he comes in. Joe Jimenez, I kind of like when he comes in. You know, I mean, everybody has their moments, but I like these big dudes that come in and they just, you know, throw gas.
Re-signed him too.
So, yeah. Look, everybody craps on bullpen guys because they're just expected to shut down every time. Like, they're going to allow runs. And you need lots of arms coming through there too. But again, like, I think we're pretty well positioned from a bullpen standpoint.
Especially with lefties. And then you look at your chief competition, the Phillies. Got Schwarber and they got Harper, and 8th, 9th inning, you need to get those guys out. You're turning to Bummer and you're turning to Matzik and Minter, and you know Schwarber's a good player, but you know I'd take my chances with a lefty versus him than I would a righty any day. And you have plenty of them to pick from now.
Yeah. Well, think about what beat us the last 2 years: 97, power 98. Pitching.
Yeah.
From the 6th inning and beyond. Mm-hmm. And now that's what we've got. We didn't have that in the past. So I think AA realized, like, hey, we gotta get in this game.
Juice it up.
That's the formula.
To play that short season baseball.
Now, one thing we did lose in the offseason that brought a tear to my eye, I have the t-shirt to prove it.
I know where you're going.
Send him Wash.
Yeah, send him Wash.
But good for him. Good for him. He's out in Los Angeles for the Angels, got the head coaching job. He's like 70 something years old.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the energy level of a 40-year-old. I do think that is a loss in terms of his work with the infield, you know, the way he got those guys prepared for games. I do think he adds something at third base from the coaching standpoint. So I'm going to miss seeing him out there. I don't know if it translates on the field to wins and losses, but I hate to see him go.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. I think it just brought a special dynamic. And as an assistant coach, you get a lot of opportunity to get to know your players and do things on a granular level that you know isn't necessarily happening from the head coach and above or the manager and above. And Wash was that guy. I mean, you listen to Ozzy talk about him, and it's like a father figure in some ways. And we're gonna miss him. I wish him the best out in LA. I'll actually be an Angels fan for a season. Let's see how he does out there.
Lord, I mean, other than Trout, what do they have? I mean, he's a poor guy. I mean, that's a tough job. But good for him for getting another shot, though, at his age, to get another opportunity. I hope they give him some resources to try and be successful. It's not the best organization, you know, lately.
And it's wild, too, because they've never been short of money.
Yeah.
Right, they had the two of the top five players in baseball on their roster the last couple of years. They just can't seem to put it together. Like, they did win that random World Series like 10, 12 years ago. But I'm with you. It's just kind of like, what's going on out there?
Oh, with the Rally Monkeys.
Yeah,
yeah,
the Rally Monkeys.
Yeah, those guys.
Did he take EY with him?
Yeah.
EY gone too?
EY is his third base coach.
Is his third base coach? Okay, I like him too. So good for him. So do we have completely new coaches on the first base and third base coaching? I'm sorry, I don't know who they are. I should have done my homework. Who do we got manning those positions now?
I'm gonna let Josh pronounce the third base coach's name.
I can't pronounce it. I've watched him when going to Gwinnett Stripers games, coaching up there. So he's a Braves guy. He's been in the organization. So I think you'll see some continuity. You know, just based on being a part of the program for a period.
The guys know him. He's a familiar face. But the first base coach, Goodwin, is that his name?
I don't know. I'm asking you guys. That's what y'all get paid big bucks for. I mean, I can look it up if you want, but.
No, I think you're good. Outfielder, former outfielder.
Yeah. Well, hey, just.
So, oh, by the way, I mean, you could turn back the clock to 30 years ago or maybe less than that. That's where Snitker kind of got his introduction with the big club, right? Didn't they bring him up to be the third base coach from in the minor league? So maybe in this T.O. Sosopo that you just mentioned.
How many S's is that?
I have no idea. Like I said, I don't know anything about him, but I hope that he is as aggressive as Ron Washington was, because nothing's more fun than watching him just
The windmill, baby.
Send it.
Didn't Snit get his chance when Ned Yost got the Kansas City job? Is that about right?
That sounds right. Because Freddie Gonzalez was third base coach for a minute. And then when Cox retired, they slid Freddie in there. Maybe they brought Yost into third. And then when he left, Snicker. Yeah, who knows? All right, so we've talked, obviously, the first, 40 minutes, all Braves, as expected. But there's other teams in the NL, in the NL that we got to worry about. We mentioned the Phillies a lot. Dodgers stole all the offseason pub with their billion-plus dollars of signing.
Deferred.
The evil empire out in California does it again.
Yeah, and good for them. I mean, they've got the resources to do it. They got a rabid fan base out there. You know, they lead the league in attendance every single year. You know, they're making money off the TV deal.
Hey, is huge.
And that's fine. But point being, good for them. You know, we'll see them six times during the regular season. So I'm not overly concerned with what they're doing, you know, until we get in the postseason. They're going to be good. I mean, Shohei, I think he's going to light up some stats offensively out there. Obviously not pitching this year, you know, which kind of hurts some of his value, but from a offensive standpoint, you've got Ohtani, Betts, Freeman.
One, two, three, in some particular order. I read that that's the first lineup since the Big Red Machine in the 70s. You go one, two, three, MVP winner, MVP winner, MVP winner.
Yeah.
It's tough.
How do you feel about Mookie at shortstop? There's been a lot of writing about it.
Speaking of Ron Washington, though, in the movie Moneyball, and they're sitting in Scott Hatterberg's.
It's incredibly hard.
First base isn't hard. It's incredibly hard. That's how I feel about shortstop. Like,
amen, sir.
I don't know that he's going to be uber successful there. I think the likely outcome is he's going to get moved somewhere else. But they can do everything, man.
They looked at Gavin Lux and were like, okay.
Yeah, so they're going to trade. They'll make a trade.
That's not good.
Hey, don't bury the lead. It's freaking wild he can even do it to the point where they give him they trust him to try.
True.
I mean, the guy in right field scares the crap out of you with his arm, and he's catching everything.
Five gold gloves.
And they throw him at second base, and oh, by the way. And then they put him in shortstop. Like, holy cow, have we seen a guy that has that kind of flexibility at that level? I don't remember one.
And if we put him in a bowling league, he's going to bowl 300. Yeah. I mean, the dude can do it all. So yeah. Who am I to say that he can't?
God touches some people in different ways, doesn't he? Like I said, I like Betts. I like Freddie, obviously. I want to like Shohei. I like him less as a Dodger, if I'm just being candid. Shohei's catching some shade right now with his gambling story,
Four and a half mil to the interpreter.
Seems a little sketchy to me, Casey.
Yeah. I don't speak the language, so I can't really tell you what they're talking about. But, you know, it's seems a little fishy.
Seems fishy. I think that the MLB is going to do what it takes to make sure nothing comes of it, though, right? I mean, he is the golden goose.
He's the face.
He's in terms of the expansion over to Asia. So, you know, they're going to make sure that this is taken care of. But I don't buy this whole thing that he knew nothing about it and, you know, wasn't aware. And like I said, the whole thing just sounds shady to me. It's a shame that that's what is the storyline about him heading into the season.
It is. The story's changed. The story changed again. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I think in this case, I think MLB will want to consider him innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
You know, as opposed to, you know, other situations where the media just immediately slams down on, you know, an accused party over something. I think Shohei is, you know, built up a reputation that grants that. And everyone should get that if we're just being honest. We're in America, right? But we'll see how it plays out. And I hope it's for the positive because I think he is a great thing for the game.
So the Dodgers are your clear cut favorite in the West?
Have to be.
Are you you're discrediting the National League champion Diamondbacks last year?
Yes.
Is that called discrediting?
Well, I mean, they're the defending champion. They're not even being talked about.
Hey, but like we talked about 35 minutes ago, the
Padres are getting talked about more than the Diamondbacks are.
But that's a short, going back to last year. They got hot in a short series. The marathon of the regular season, I do not think that they're in the same league.
They're as mid-80s victory team. It's what we talked about in the very beginning. So let's transition to that. This is a great question. How does the MLB make the playoffs where it does reward the teams that have shown they're the best teams over 162? Because what we've seen the last 2 years is that this break of 5 or 7 days while the other teams just keep playing to get hot is a huge disadvantage to the top seeds. So what do?
They collect more money and include more teams in the playoffs. They don't fix it. That's the problem. It's not going to get fixed. I shouldn't say it's not going to get fixed. I would like to see fewer teams in the playoffs. I think that rewards regular season.
That's how you settle it, actually.
Outcomes, right? So you have less teams, but that means
no buys.
But that means less teams in the playoffs, which means less TV. Games, less TV rights, whatever. And MLB is not going to go back to that. I personally believe that it is a huge disadvantage to those teams. And I think if it stays the same, everybody's like, oh, it's just a 2-year sample size, whatever. Well, 15 years from now, we're going to have a 17-year sample size. And I think the outcomes are going to be similar to what we saw the first 2 years. Baseball, unlike any other sport, Tom Brady played quarterback every game for the Patriots. Spencer Strider only gets to start 2 games out of a playoff series. Mm-hmm. And so when the most important position player on the field is changing every single game, the outcome variability is so much larger. And so when you enter more teams into that pool, that variability continues to increase. And I think we're just going to continue to see, we'll have years where the 105 win team will win the World Series, but there's going to be a lot where that 88 win team that got hot, a la the Diamondbacks, Phillies, they didn't win it, but made it to the World Series 2 years ago.
And the Braves 3 years
ago. Let's be honest. I mean, the Braves were
3 years in a row, the same kind of thing happened.
So I think that's going to become more of the norm in the sport because of the way the game is played.
I agree with Josh. And I feel like, this may have nothing to do with it, but with the new balance schedule this year, I don't know that we'll see any 104 team win teams. The Braves aren't beating up on the Marlins 17 games of the year anymore. You're playing everybody at least one series. You play somebody at home this year, you'll play one on the road next year. You're not playing the people in your division as many times as you were. I think that's just going to create a little more parity. But maybe that allows you to have a opportunity to be more competitive at the end of the season and not have the large, gap that you would have with the second place team, and then you get hotter and less, I'm just kind of rambling, but like less teams in the playoffs.
No, your point is well made. I mean, and let me piggyback that with, I love the balance schedule.
I think it's awesome.
So as a season ticket holder, as somebody who's looking at the schedule to say what games I want to go to, the pool is so much deeper now. Like, how many times we said, great, Tuesday versus the Marlins, right? And like, no one wants to go see that game. Well, there's not many of those.
Right.
Every week has a team that you're going to want to see. It just reminds me of when Interleague started however many years ago, like what's such a amazing novel concept. Sure. And then it's only going to be the AL East versus the NL East. And the next year it'll be the AL East versus the NL Central. And the way we evolve over time is so wild.
Which wasn't fair because the NL East was
so strong. Strong, yeah.
And then they're playing the AL West, who was like strong as well. Then, somebody's not. So somebody else is going to have more wins than you because you played a tougher schedule.
Yeah.
But the flip side to that is we see the Phillies in Atlanta twice.
Yeah.
Fine. I want to see Bryce Harper in Atlanta less than I need to.
But the natural rivalries that exist, we get less of. And I get why baseball did it. I think it's, it was like last year we had Shohei come in with the Angels.
Yeah. And it's awesome.
That never happened.
That's all I was going to say is okay, fine. You see the Phillies, it used to be 19 times you played those teams.
Yeah.
So do you want to see the Phillies 19 times? Or, hey, let's see Mike Trout 3 times a year. Yep. Which, by the way, how many times have you watched Mike Trout play a full baseball game?
Played Atlanta one time.
Tell me how many times you've watched Mike Trout play a full baseball game.
Full baseball game?
Yes.
None.
None.
No, I get it. I get it.
He's the best player of our generation. I've never seen him from soup to nuts play a baseball game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen his at bats on SportsCenter, but That's why I'm excited for Shohei to be in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. Like, we'll get to see him more. I think that's a good thing.
There's lots of positive things about the balanced schedule. My wife and I like to travel to go watch the Braves play on the road. It's kind of a college football thing we do with baseball. But we went to Milwaukee last year and watched a Braves series and had a great time. And as soon as the whole balanced schedule thing came out, you know, I explained to her that there'd be more American League teams we have a chance to go watch play this year. And we're looking at the schedule trying to figure out where to go. You know, let's go to Toronto. Let's go to Seattle or whatever, you know, is on the schedule, because it's an excuse to go somewhere.
As we sit here in 2024, thinking about, you know, baseball, you know, is such a historical, purist game. To think about why there was no ability for the American League to play the National League until recently is so freaking silly. Like, what's that even about? I mean, there's no other sport where we just say half of the league, you can't play.
Yeah.
You're an old school baseball guy.
I know. I'm trying to think. I mean, different rules. You had a DH in one, but, you know, that's what happens when you get a couple of guys in a room. They look out for their best interests, and that's how they saw it play out. And that's what happened.
I mean, would you love to watch Horner and Murphy play in old Tiger Stadium with those overhanging upper decks? Oh, you know, yeah, I mean, that would have been fun.
So speaking of DH now is universal. The rules from last year, you know, pitch clock, those mound visits. I'll let you speak, Josh, about what your takeaway after 1 year of watching that.
I'll be really succinct. Non-issue. Super easy. Like, I had no idea when the season started. I'm like, man, this is going to be wild to see how this works. It was nothing. I love the shortness of the games. Yeah. You know, like I said, having a 10-year-old son that I watch a ton of baseball with, it's great to have the pace pick up, because these kids, you know, to sit still and do one thing for a couple of hours is really hard to do. So I think baseball made a really good decision to do that. I think this year they've even shortened it by a couple of seconds, if I believe.
They kicked off two seconds. Right? It went from like 20, I think, to 18 with guys on base. Yeah.
And I don't think it impacted, like, you did not see a lot of games where an outcome was changed by the new rules. Now, I'll say the bigger bases, do we have more steals because of it? You know, I don't think we had more steals because of the bigger bases. I think we had more steals because of the limit on the pitchers to throw to first.
Agreed.
Like, that had a huge impact on that particular stat. But I think it's all good for the game. I mean, kudos to baseball for recognizing, you know, we've got to get our fan base younger and keep them engaged. And so I think this year will be more of the same.
Did you see the clip where, I'm probably going to get the teams wrong, I think it was Astros and somebody, but runner on third, and he, like, forced the pitcher to have two disengagements during that bat just by dancing around, knowing that if he distracted him enough on the third time, that if he didn't pick him off, then he would get to score a run. And he was successful. Like, he played enough games with the pitcher where he tried a third time, not realizing what the rule was, and the umpires awarded him home plate. I think there's got to be some adjustment on that kind of thing. But, you know, the improvements they made with the game, with the clocks, is like you said, man. Like, I could watch a game with a 6-year-old, and it, you know, she'll watch it.
Dude, it starts at 7:05.
Yeah.
It ends at 9:35. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
And universally, I've heard nothing but positive.
Yeah.
100%. You can't get 10 people to decide on what to eat for lunch, but you can get the entire country to agree that these changes of the pitch clock have been successful. Your boy Greg Maddux, who I know he's one of your favorite of all time, he was being interviewed, and I heard that they asked him, they said, well, what do you think about the new pitch clock? He goes, whoa, wait a second. It's not a pitch clock. It's the hitter clock. He goes, those hitters are the ones that are messing with their wristbands and taking their time. He goes, us pitchers, he goes, I want to play an hour 45 game, which he did.
He did.
He goes, hey, this is a hitter's clock.
He wants to go fast, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's great. The other rule I saw, maybe I don't know of other new rules this year, but the other one I saw was the mound visits are now being reduced even more. So you could do 5 mound visits. Now it's down to 4 for the game, which, again, it used to be 2 per inning. Think about it. Or no, 2 per pitcher.
2 right? per pitcher.
2 per pitcher, yeah. So they're making that even something else. But look, anything that makes the game quicker, you know, adults have a hard time sitting there for 3 hours watching a game.
Well, and at the end of the day, this is about entertainment. I mean, if we're being honest, the money deals with TV, with everything else, it's about entertainment. And so what are we putting out there that are going to get people to sit down on their couches and tune into these games? I think the pace of play last year was fantastic. I hope it continues, you know, the same way. You know, from a pure baseball standpoint, you're like, this lefty should not be pitching against this righty. But now that you got to face three pitchers, like, so what? Learn to pitch to a righty.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's the nature of the beast. Like, let's go. And I think pitchers are adjusting and they're figuring it out. And baseball will evolve. It's fine.
Yeah.
In our last couple of minutes, any other stories throughout the year? Not necessarily Brave stories, but just MLB stories that y'all are paying attention to?
Yes. I want to see how Juan Soto does in New York. Like, I'm completely fascinated by him hitting in front of Aaron Judge and the fact that this is a free agency year for him, to see what kind of money that he's going to command. The short porch at Yankee Stadium for a left-handed hitter. I'm going to be following this to see what plays out, because it's really interesting.
The Orioles, see if they can duplicate what they did last year. Young, fun team to watch. Now with the established closer and Craig Kimbrell, you know, does he?
God bless Craig Kimbrell, by the way. One who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Does he jump in there and like show these guys what the, you know, the little bit they needed to get them over that hump for, you know, for winning, being young players like they are? They're an interesting team to watch. National League, other than the Braves, I mean, I think I'll probably watch the Cubs this year. I thought the way they handled the David Ross situation was pretty terrible. He did a heck of a job with that team last year, the last half of the year, to get them back to where they even contend for a playoff. Then they can him as soon as
Council's the head Council. Now, right?
Yeah, as soon as Council becomes available, it was okay, Rossi. Peace out, you know. And I thought that was a crappy move, but. It'll be interesting to see how many games they lose this year.
So both of y'all mentioned the AL East, which is a fascinating division to me. I mean, you got five teams. I mean, Red Sox probably are the weakest of the five, which is pretty crazy.
Pretty clear, yeah.
You know, the Yankees, we'll see if Garrett Cole bounces back. He's not getting Tommy John, which is great news for them. That same list you brought up, Josh, with Acuna number one, ESPN had Soto two. And they had Judge three. Mm-hmm. So you're talking some big-time firepower right there. Soto is an interesting character to me. He's not somebody I'd want on the Braves, actually. When there were discussions last year about places he was going to land, like, I don't think I want him on our team for a variety of reasons, but we'll see what he does in New York, and we'll see what team breaks him off. I mean, someone's going to pay him through the nose. The Blue Jays in that division, to me, are one of the most fun teams always to watch. Yep. Kids love the Blue Jays, like Graham and his friends. They love Bichette. They love Vladdy. They love all these guys. And I understand why. And then I will say about your Cubs. I don't know about my Cubs.
You're
interested in watching the Cubs. Anybody remember Dansby's stats? Like, did anything about Dansby's year jump out to y'all? I can't even remember kind of how he did. I mean, I actually just pulled it up because I was curious. So I have him in front of me. But
if I had to guess, I'd say 260, 17 home runs, probably 65 RBIs.
What would you guess?
Something similar. I don't even
Isn't
know.
Isn't that wild, though?
I know.
Someone who we followed every single day. He's gone for a year.
Hey, change the hat and the illusions change.
What have you done for me lately? So, average a little lower, 244, okay. Which he was always like struggling to get above 250. Yeah. Yeah. His power numbers are pretty good, though. 22 and 80 RBIs. So, you know, I mean, he got 565 at bats. I imagine he played some pretty good defense. I don't know if they're happy with him up there or not. Again, I think that AA proved that decision was probably the right one.
Well, you're getting a similar level of offensive production. Like, I love on defense, and I love the leadership Dansby brings. Like, there was something said to that. But you're paying Arcia like
nothing.
$4 million a year.
Maybe less. It might have been three. But your point is what?
$4 million a year, where Dansby's getting six times that, seven times that.
So little that we skipped over him earlier when we were talking about the line.
I know.
We can go back. Anybody want to give some RC a love?
Hey, now do the same thing this year. Yeah. Like, just be that guy that is consistent in the field, make some good plays, hit 275, 280, and dude, we're good.
Yeah, call it a day. All right, you guys are the best in the business. I enjoy this every year. We will continue to do this every year. Before we finish up, though, we've got to give our postseason World Series projections. I'm sure the three of us last year chose the Braves, and we might do it again. But so we can put it in the time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wants to go first, make your choice.
I think I had Braves and Blue Jays last year.
So what you got in 2024, man? Off.
I think the Orioles are still that team. They only got better this year. They improved their starting pitching with Corbin. You know, they got better on the front end with him and the back end with Kimbrel, based on injury. I mean, their closer got hurt, so they had to do something. But they're going to hit enough. They're in a super tough division, but I like them coming out of there. I don't see how it can be anybody other than Atlanta, just without factoring in things you can't predict like injuries. There's no reason why the Braves should play backseat to anybody. They got the pitching, got the hitting, and proven defense.
So we talked about the moves AA made in the offseason. They were not to make us better in May. They were not to make the Braves better in June or July. They were to make the Braves better in October. I like the way it will be structured. I think just based on the talent level, it's not going to be a cruise and you got injuries and all that other stuff. But I think the Braves will win the division. I think they will then be set up, to have a great postseason run based on what they have done up to this point. So I had to do this 2 weeks ago for the baseball program that I'm a part of, and I'm going to stick with what I said then. Braves over Orioles in six.
It's a hell of a closing argument. I'm not going to argue with you one bit on that. You nailed it. I'll throw Blue Jays in there just to be a little different from the two of y'all. So there's right now, there are three dudes like us sitting in St. Louis or San Diego or Houston.
No way.
Whatever the hell. No. Doing the same, you know, having the same conversation.
Less clicks.
And I don't think they can realistically all three say the Cardinals are going to go to the World Series or the Padres go to the World Series. The Astros fans probably could. But I think that even taking our homer hat off, it just feels like the Braves are the team that is lined up to do it. Now, what happens in a couple weeks in October, we'll find out. But yep. I'm going to say the Braves as well. And let's cut down some. I'm thinking March Madness cut down the Nets. But let's have ourselves a parade. Yeah. All right, boys. I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
Final words y'all want to throw out there? Are we good? We covered it all?
I think we got it, man.
Good, man.
Nailed it. All right. Well, let's see how the season goes. Everybody enjoy following it. Send us your text with your thoughts. Let us know how you're feeling during the season. And we'll keep checking in. So thank y'all for listening. As always, till next time, keep chopping.